Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Talk some Week 9 NFL. We'll talk some Indianapolis Colts. We'll even talk some Penn State football with Hot Take Hickey, Ryan Hickey, Infinity Sports Network, JR Sport Brief. Joining us now in the Sports Bar. It's always nice to have you on with us, Ryan. We are... You can't even say it.
No.
We are...
No. Oh, you're killing me. We are losers. I hate to say it. That's what we are. Losers.
Are you in the camp of, all right, maybe it's time to move off of Franklin here?
Yes. Yes. Because it's the same thing every time. Like, every time they play a great team where the talent is equal or the other team is better, all the same issues keep on popping up. The receivers don't make plays. The offense itself struggles to move the ball. In the case on Saturday, can't punch it in the red zone when they're there, knocking on the door of the goal line. The defense usually plays well, but there's always a moment or two where you really need a big stop. They can't come through to get it. There's always questions about the play calling. It always feels like they play not to lose instead of going out there being aggressive, playing to win. It's literally the same story every single year. It plays out the same. They've lost now 8 in a row to Ohio State. They lose every big game, it feels like, on their schedule. I'm sick of it. I am sick of it. I'm done with it.
Well, Ryan, you could distill it down to that fourth quarter goal line stand by Ohio State, and I can't understand for the life of me why Franklin doesn't get Tyler Warren at least a touch on that final red zone trip. He was the guy that got you down there. He's been a playmaker for you all season. It just feels like coaching malpractice, inexcusable.
I agree. It doesn't make sense because all season long they've been creative and they put him literally everywhere. He's snapped the ball. He's taken the snap from under center. He's taken the snap in the shotgun. He's lined up as a receiver. He's lined up as a tight end. He's lined up as a running back. He's lined up everywhere. And for whatever reason, they thought in this situation on first and goal from the 3-yard line, we're going to line up and we think we can just overpower right now the strength of the Ohio State defense, which is their interior, and we're just going to push them around because we can. Was ridiculous. And that fourth down pass had no chance. At that point, you kind of knew that game was over. But it's just like, why all of a sudden, all year long, you're creative and you're putting him in all different spots. He has that great run that gets you down to the 3-yard line. Why you pretend he's just invisible? It makes zero sense. It is so maddening.
Ryan Hickey, Infinity Sports Network, Penn State grad, Colt fan. Now, this is one reason... Well, you'd say, there are some Bills fans that are going to be worried about this. Last we saw these two teams play, that was up here, and, that was Jonathan Taylor going bonkers for 5 touchdowns, 41. That was on November 21st, 2021. Since that game, Frank Reich has been fired by two different teams, so it's been that long. What? Give us kind of the state of the Indianapolis Colts right now, because there was a lot of drama last week, and what you saw offensively last night left Ryan a lot to be desired.
Absolutely. I mean, the state right now is chaotic. Look, there's a real chance here that Joe Flacco could I expect him to bounce back and play a lot better next week compared to what we just saw last night against the Vikings. But the state right now is chaotic because, like, for me, like, at least going into this year, I thought they could be a playoff team. I thought they should be a playoff team, in part because I really thought Anthony Richardson here in year two would take a step, would stay healthy and be a little bit more consistent. And the fact that right now, he's been bad. I'm not going to try to dress up any other way. He's been awful. But he's played 10 games in his career. He's only played, started and finished 6 games in his career. And the fact that they have given up on him, I don't care what they say, they gave up on him. That's it. They threw the towel in. He's not going to play unless Flacco gets hurt. But they're really telling you how they feel about him already. I just don't think right now that that's enough of a sample size. But I also think they're miscalculating the roster and how good it is. Because in playing Joe Flacco, they're also telling you, well, we have a playoff caliber team right now, and we're going to capitalize on that with a veteran that we feel better in versus kind of the up and down nature of a still young and developing quarterback. And the Colts, to me, are not there. Like, Minnesota's defense is really good. And Minnesota overall is a good team, but even still, I mean, Sam Darnold gave you 3 turnovers yesterday, and you had literally the worst offensive game of the season when a guy that was supposed to be starting was supposed to be your best option.
Yeah, I think about
right now is a mess.
I think about that decision a lot, Ryan, and we talked about it a lot last week, as I'm sure you did as well. Does it make sense? What kind of a sample size do you need to see? How soon is too soon to pull the plug on somebody you invested a top 4 pick in? And, you know, I could make the argument that when you're sitting at 4-4, if you're Shane Steichen, you say, okay, well, Joe Flacco clearly gives us the best chance to win. Or maybe it was somebody above Shane Steichen that made that call. But now I wonder about what is going on internally, the things that we don't see, the things that we don't hear. Do you have a locker room divided with half of them maybe saying, yeah, we get it. Coach says it's Flacco and he gives us the best chance to win, with the other half saying, you know, they did Richardson dirty on this one. They didn't give him enough time, and he's our young guy. He's a young guy who's still going to grow and learn. Or do you think that Richardson tapping out is such an unforgivable sin that the locker room won't come around on him anytime soon?
That, to me, is what it seems like. And they've denied it. They've tried to talk about, you know, how that's not really going to the decision of benching him. But how can it not? Right? Like, I mean, there's plenty of reports right now that the locker room is divided on him, that there's some guys that think he deserves to be benched. And I get, look, just the tapping out alone, I get it from a player perspective. If you see, you know, you're putting your heart out there, and you look over at the guy that's supposed to be the face of your franchise and the leader of the team saying, on 3rd and goal, I got to get out of here, I need a break, is inexcusable. And I understand that part of it. But also, you need to have a good enough culture to at least, I think, help foster the realization of just like, look, when we drafted this guy last year, right, this was not just a plug and play. We're going to go, you know, compete right away and be like the Texans with C.J. Stroud. Right? He came in right away and had a good team. I mean, the comp I make a lot is with you guys in Buffalo. Like, you took Josh Allen. It's kind of the same thing. You played more in college at Wyoming than Richardson did at Florida, but he's a talented, physically, you know, gifted quarterback that's extremely raw. And I get, you know, staying healthy helped expedite the development of Allen. So by this time, you know, in year two for him, you know, the Bills are on their way to the playoffs. But, like, I thought the Colts and Bills, at the times they drafted their quarterbacks, were in similar spots where their cupboard wasn't bare. You know, there was competency and leadership at head coach. It wasn't like a total disaster like you're seeing, you know, for example, with Bryce Young and the Panthers. And all of a sudden, like, you knew what you were doing in getting a guy like Richardson, and the fact that the patience has been thrown out so quickly, it's maddening and confusing.
Ryan, I do make a decision like that, it's got to go all the way up. You had, well, he still is there, but my question is about Irsay. Is he still involved day to day? Because the Jim Irsay, we all kind of knew, he would be on X, or it was called Twitter. He'd be voicing his opinion. Is he okay here?
From my understanding, I don't think he had much to do with this. Like, he obviously got involved, what was it now, 2 years ago when Frank Reich was fired and they brought back Jeff Saturday and that entire disaster went down. Yeah. But since that time, to his credits, he has, for the most part, allowed the people he's hired to do their job. And so far up to this point, there's been no real reason to interfere. I mean, last year, Richardson gets hurt early in the year And this team, in the last week of the season, is playing a home game where if they win that, they win the division. So, like, when competency is happening and there's winning and success, he stays out, thankfully. And I do think he's been ill. I just don't think he's got enough energy right now to come in here and demand Richardson being benched. I don't think it's a Jim Irsay decision. I don't think it's even a Chris Ballard decision. I think it is partly the locker room of just like, look, if you want to have any sort of respect and have us bought in, you can't have a guy tapping out. You can't have a guy playing this poorly, playing at least without any sort of punishment, which could be in this case sitting him on the bench for poor play.
Hot take Hickey. Ryan Hickey from the Infinity Sports Network joining us here in the sports bar. I want to get your thoughts on a couple of different beats from around the NFL. One, I mean, the Cowboys felt like they did everything they could to kind of submarine their season before it even started. And now you're going to be without Dak Prescott for at least the next few weeks. I mean, the NFC East looks like once again we're going to have another new division champion. It's like, what, 19 straight years where the NFC East doesn't have a repeat, conference champ or a repeat divisional champion. I mean, this ain't good for the Cowboys, and we're not going to have a meaningful game on Thanksgiving, which really has me more upset than anything.
You are right about that, without a doubt. I actually look at this as a blessing, if you think about it here, because yesterday, of course, Jerry Jones, despite the loss, saying, oh, I still believe in the guys, referencing Michael Irvin's story from, like, was it 1990s, about I still believe in coming back, and this team is, you know, he believes in the coaches and the players and this locker room, turning around. This season's over. This season's been over since it started. This team is not very good. They're not talented. It's no accident that they're 3-5 right now, trending in the wrong direction. Everything about them stinks. They lost a ton of talent. They didn't replace it at all. So what we're seeing from the Cowboys is exactly what they are. So I think, if anything, that you never root for injury, obviously. But now Dak Prescott looking to be out multiple weeks. Maybe they put him on IR. Maybe he's out 4 weeks, 6 weeks. I mean, this season is going in the tank. And so if you're a Cowboys fan now, I think the worst-case scenario for you this year was going 7-10, 8-9, missing the playoffs, but again, not having a top-tier pick. At least now at 3-5, whether it's Cooper Rush, whether it's Trey Lance, I mean, they're not going to win another game by the time Dak comes back. So if he misses four games, let's call it, maybe you're 3-9, 3-10 when he comes back, maybe that at least pushes Jared to say, you know what, let's wave the white flag on the season, let's call it, and let's just embrace the tank, because that's what the Cowboys need, a lot of talent in a lot of different places. So having a high draft pick, having multiple high draft picks here, high first, a high second, is in their best interest. And Dak not playing, like, for everything you want to say about Dak, he's their second best player on the team, third best player on the team. He still gives them a real chance every single Sunday to win. Without him, they got no chance of winning, which now at this point with where the Cowboys are, that's a good thing. You don't want to win another game if you're Dallas, I think.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
How legit is Washington? I mean, we saw them with the Hail Mary last week. They beat up, they did what they were supposed to do, beat the Giants. So I don't know what we take out of that. But right now, if the season ends, they'd be the two seed. Can we realistically talk about a rookie quarterback leading the Washington Commanders to the Super Bowl?
No, I would say no. I think they've been a great story. Like, and when you talk about legit, I think, like, if you're talking about division, are they legitimately a division contender? Absolutely. I think they have a real chance here to win the NFC East, in part because I do not trust the Eagles. on full display again yesterday with the stupidity of Nick Sirianni's decision making being stupidly aggressive and almost costing his team at the end. But like, I don't, for how great the Commanders have been this year, I don't think they're on the same level as the 49ers, the Lions, even a team like the Vikings or the Packers. I still think they do have a ways to climb. Even the Falcons and the Bucks, I feel better about right now than Washington. But, I mean, we should be talking about this team hosting a playoff game in January, and depending on who they're matched up against, like, I think they could absolutely be, you know, spunky enough and win a game. But I don't think they're Super Bowl contenders, at least not in year one. But this team is – that future is very bright. Very bright.
Ryan, the Saints move on from their head coach today. Dennis Allen fired. They lose to Carolina. Fireable offense, apparently. Their seventh straight loss. Now, hear me out on this, because we kind of worked this workshop this out in real time here in the sports bar. We could see a world where the Saints are really, really bad next year. That the Saints, you know, could take this offseason to really clear the decks, start from scratch, tear it down to the studs, and maybe be picking in the top three come the 2026 draft, where the circle becomes complete and Arch Manning becomes the new franchise quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. Am I crazy? Is that even possible? Could that be a thing?
That should be the thing. I love that idea. And you're 100% right. Like I don't know why it took them this long to number one fire Dennis Allen, and I don't know why they've kicked the can down the road so far of doing exactly what you said. This team is going nowhere. Like even forget this year, even last year, the same thing. You look at this roster, and it's like, they're not very good, but they're not bad enough to have like a top five pick, but they're going nowhere. They're stuck in the middle for the longest time. I don't know if they just, you know, were delusional and try to convince themselves that they were still competitive with Alvin Kamara and Derek Carr. If you had a bad coach, they finally move on from. Now reality's hitting them with seven losses in a row. Absolutely. You know, ship off Alvin Kamara. You know, try to get anything you really can for most of these guys. Tear it down and have a 2 or 3 year plan. That I think I'm with you 100%. That centers around 2026, getting Archie's grandson back in New Orleans and hoping that the second man to come into town has a lot more success or team success than the first. I love it. I'm with you 1,000,000%.
Yeah, you know, who do the Saints hire here to? And Ryan, settle this argument for us. I guess we have to wait for the definitive answer, because Bill Belichick, does he coach in the league next year? Now, I don't think it's the Saints. I don't know if that's a team that's ready to win in 2025, but do you think the coach comes back next season?
This maybe
now, be careful, Ryan, because we have a friendly wager here in the sports bar. Gene believes he will. I believe he will not, because he's so good at the media thing, and it's such a cush lifestyle compared to what he's used to. Plus, he's got the 24-year-old girlfriend now. There's a box of wine at stake here, so the winner receives a box of wine here in the sports bar. So be very judicious with your answer here.
I like the classiness of you fellas, for sure. I'm with you, Danger. Like, I think he's having fun. And I think Bill Belichick is truly enjoying the fact that he could sit back and criticize others and not be criticized and be beloved. And, like, I mean, I don't think it's an act. Like, I was trying to figure it out for a while. Like, he took every opportunity possible, right? He's on the Manning cast. He has his own pot. Like, every single media company that came to him with some sort of idea or pitch, he said yes to. He's doing, like, a million different things. And it's like, why? Like, if he was just going to take a year off, maybe do one or two shows, stay relevant. But I think the fact that he's taken, like, 4, 5, 6 media opportunities. Plus, now, I mean, you see him with the Halloween pictures. Looks like he's having actually fun, not coaching and grinding over tape 24/7. I think he likes the media thing. And you know what? I hope he stays. I think he's been good at it. He's enjoyable. He's funny. Like, he's obviously super knowledgeable and knows what he's talking about. But I like the fact that his dry humor also, I think, for me at least, makes it entertaining. I'm going to guess I'll answer this question more of a hope. I hope he stays in media, and I think he will.
I hope you're wrong, just because I'm cheap. I would love a free box of wine. But I would have thought that Jimmy Johnson would have come back and Bill Cowher would have come back. And then these guys realized, wait a second, I could just kind of do something and go home and not watch film and not do all the other stuff and not have the headaches and the after-hour calls and everything else here, Ryan. So you got me a little worried here, bud.
And also, get paid well. You know, like you get paid well as a head coach, but now, I mean, I can only imagine Bill's, I'm sure, doing okay right now in terms of the money he's making for all the different ventures he's doing. Sports media, when you're at the top, man, it pays a lot of money. So Bill, like you said, probably the stress is cut down tenfold. The money is less, but it's not drastic. and your lifestyle changes so differently that it's like, why at his age, why go back for what? You accomplish everything you need to accomplish outside of the wins record. Go back for what?
Yeah, and Andy's going to get the wins record anyways. One last team I wanted to highlight with you, since we have some news out of Vegas today, with them basically firing their entire offensive staff. And you're 2-7, and you keep benching Gardner Minshew as if that's going to make a difference. You went in with a really weak quarterback room into this season. At what point does Antonio Pierce look in the mirror, and is that another guy that, when this season ends, will be looking for work?
The only reason why I hesitate and struggle to say I think he'll be fired after year one is just because there's been so many changes in Vegas recently, and I don't see Mark Davis as someone who enjoys change, who's someone that has a short temper and a short fuse. Like, I feel like he waits as long as possible, really since the Jack Del Rio firing, where I think he really regretted that. I think he tries to, unless the bottom falls out here, he tries to wait as long as he can. So when you look at, you know, some of the missed opportunities they've had in terms of Rich Bisaccia being there, then leaving, then going for Josh McDaniels, like, I think he'll be patient. Now, with that said, can you already look at this tenure right now, since he's been full-time, and look at Antonio Pierce and say, is this going to go anywhere or be successful? I think you can already say the answer is no.
Dude, he hired these guys. These were all his guys that they just blew out in the middle of the season.
9 weeks in, you got no plan. And also, like, the question is, what does Antonio Pierce do well? Last year, his best attribute is that he got those guys fired up. Honestly, it's easy to do when you play for Josh McDaniels, who makes everybody's life miserable. And, by the way, you suck. At least if you're going to suck, you have fun with Antonio Pierce. Now, like, I just don't know what – when you said, what does he do well as a head coach? I don't have an answer for you.
Yeah. Ryan Hickey joining us tonight, Monday Night Football. We get the Buccaneers and Chiefs. Question about the Chiefs, because we're trying to do the math in our head here, Ryan, because the AFC East, it's over. We can agree on that. So,
yes.
Seeding.
Oh, yeah.
We've called the race.
Yeah, like, you'll hear that a lot in our next tomorrow. We called this actually 2 weeks ago, and we've been right. The Chiefs here, do we just pencil them in as number one? Can Buffalo or Baltimore or somebody else climb up to that rung? How do you view the Chiefs this season? They're undefeated, but I'm not sure they 100% pass the eye test here.
They definitely don't, and they have, you know, some real holes here, especially on the offensive side of the ball with some of the injuries that they're facing at receiver, especially here. It's honestly... At this point, like, until they – I guess I'll put it this way. I think the seeding, if you want to say which team does it matter the most for in terms of getting the number one seed, I think it's obviously – I would say, at least in terms of the three top teams here, if you want to include the Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, I think it is the Bills. I think getting that first bye, one less playoff game, is massive for them. I think secondly is Baltimore, and then I think for – The Chiefs, like, I don't think at this point it matters where they play. We saw last year they went into Baltimore, no problem, was able to win that game. It looks to me like right now, even with the holes, even though they haven't played the flashy, explosive offense we've seen them have now for years, it's more kind of a grinded out defensive style with the best quarterback in the NFL. They have it where, like, they are asking Mahomes to be their third option, essentially. Right? They rely on their defense. I think they can now rely on their run game as well as the two ways to get the job done. And then it's, we need Mahomes to make a play or two and, you know, throw some passes to these receivers. Like, that's what it feels like. And so with that formula being the way it is, I don't see them losing more than, like, two or three games. I really don't. So it does feel like, even though I don't think they need home field as much as some other teams in the AFC do to have a chance to get back to the Super Bowl, I right now, I go by default, I say Kansas City, I think, is going to get the one.
Ryan, when can we hear you on the Infinity Sports Network this week? Are you on with JR tonight?
Oh, I'm with JR every single day, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, and then Hick at Night on Sunday, breaking down all the NFL action starting at 10 p.m. Eastern right here on every local Infinity Sports Network affiliate.
Beautiful. Ryan, appreciate it. We'll be checking out Sunday night, too, and we will be listening to JR at 6 o'clock here tonight. Thanks, Ryan.
Fellas, always a pleasure. Looking forward to – well, actually, not really, but it's going to be interesting, we'll say at least.
Appreciate it, Ryan. There's Ryan Hickey. You can hear him on with JR tonight. JR Sport Brief gets underway right after the sports bar.
So the Bills and Colts. Now, the Bills don't play there that often, but Mike Danger, I'm going to ask you a question. I'll give you five guesses here. The last Buffalo Bills quarterback to start a game, a regular season game in Indianapolis, and win.
And win? Ooh. Man, this is a tough one. Trent Edwards.
No.
EJ?
No.
Not a lot of wins between those two guys. Maybe any.
No, maybe.
Maybe focus on guys that can actually win games. Who won games as quarterback for the Buffalo Bills?
I'll say this. It's not a trick question like a Derek Anderson lost there. So I'm not asking something tricky like that. But
well, so Derek Anderson was starting for the Bills
the last time they played
in Indianapolis?
That was Josh Allen's rookie year. So Josh Allen hasn't played. This will be his first start in Indy.
I mean, how far back do we got to go here? This has got to be, J.P. Lossman?
Nope. Two left.
Well, I mean, now I'm just going to throw Hail Marys like Doug Flutie.
No. One left.
I'm just throwing darts. Rob Johnson.
You got it!
Nice.
All right, so this game, you got to go back to 1998. God. That is a stat. 26 years since the Buffalo Bills have won in Indy. And in that game, Danger, Rob Johnson, first drive, lands on the football, rib injury. This kickstarts Flutie mania because Doug Flutie leads him back to win. That's the last time the Bills won in Indy.
Wow. So it was Johnson starting the game, not finishing the game.
Right.
And Flutie magic begins in Buffalo in Indianapolis with them winning that game.
Against a bad Colts team back then. Because the Colts would lose so much, they would draft Peyton Manning.
Right, I was going to say, You know what? The Colts, outside of the Manning luck years, have been bad. They're a bad organization. They've been bad. They had arguably the best quarterback of all time for a good chunk of his career. And then they had Andrew Luck. And since then, they haven't figured it out. They've just been bad. Not bad historically bad, like two-win bad every single season. But they've been kind of like what the Bills were during the drought year. They're just kind of farting around every single year.
You know, they're farting around right now, 4-5, without a real quarterback.
Mm. All right, well, appreciate Hickey giving us a little insight there on his team, the Indianapolis Colts. And we'll keep you updated here through the course of the week and get you ready for Sunday. You'll be able to hear the action on the Fan Rochester kickoff just after 1 o'clock. Sunday afternoon here on the Fan. Happy Hour is next, and it's a Victory Monday, Gino. So
I'm going to pay
it
off.
I'm going to pay it off. I'm a man of my word, and we will celebrate a Victory Monday the way it's meant to be celebrated in the sports bar. We'll also get to a round of shots, plenty to get to from yesterday's game, and time for your calls if you want to join us at 866-4326-585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.